The Passover Visit. This chapter is based on Luke 2, verse 41 to 51. Among the Jews, the 12th year was the dividing line between childhood and youth. In keeping with this custom, Jesus made the Passover visit to Jerusalem with Joseph and Mary when he reached the required age. The journey from Galilee took several days, and travelers united in large groups for companionship and protection. The women and old men rode on oxen or donkeys over the steep, rocky roads. The stronger men and youth traveled on foot. The whole land was bright with flowers and glad with the song of birds. Along the way, fathers and mothers repeated to their children the wonders that God had done for his people in ages past, and brightened their journey with song and music. Passover observance began with the birth of the Hebrew nation. On the last night of their slavery in Egypt, God directed the Hebrews to gather their families in their own homes. Having sprinkled the doorposts with the blood of the lamb they had slaughtered, they were to eat the lamb, roasted, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. It is the Lord's Passover. Exodus 12, verse 11. At midnight, all the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed. Then the Hebrews went out from Egypt as an independent nation. From generation to generation, they were to repeat the story of this wonderful deliverance. After the Passover came the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. All the ceremonies of the feast were symbols of the work of Christ. The slain lamb, the unleavened bread, the sheaf of first fruits represented the Savior. But with most of the people in the days of Christ, this feast had become no more than formalism. But how significant it was to the Son of God. For the first time, the child Jesus looked on the temple. He saw the white-robed priests performing their solemn ministry and the bleeding victim on the altar of sacrifice. He witnessed the impressive rites of the Passover service. Day by day, he saw their meaning more clearly. Every act seemed involved with his own life. New impulses were awakening within him. Silent and absorbed, he seemed to be studying out a great problem. The mystery of his mission was opening to the Savior. Completely focused on contemplating these scenes, Jesus lingered in the temple courts when the Passover services ended. When the worshipers left Jerusalem, he was left behind. In this visit, Jesus' parents wanted to bring him into contact with the great teachers in Israel. They hoped he might be impressed by the learning of the rabbis and would pay more attention to their requirements. But in the temple, Jesus had been taught by God. What he had received, he began at once to share. An apartment connected with the temple had been made into a sacred school. Here the child Jesus came, seating himself at the feet of the learned rabbis. As one seeking for wisdom, he questioned these teachers regarding the prophecies and about events then taking place that pointed to the coming of the Messiah. His questions suggested deep truths that had been hidden for a long time, but were vital to salvation. While showing how the wisdom of the wise men was narrow and superficial, every question placed truth in a new light. The rabbis spoke of the wonderful exaltation that the Messiah's coming would bring to the Jews, but Jesus presented the prophecy of Isaiah and asked the meaning of those scriptures that point to the suffering and death of the Lamb of God. See Isaiah 53. The doctors turned on him with questions and were amazed at his answers. With the humility of a child, he gave the words of Scripture a depth of meaning that the wise men had not imagined. The lines of truth he pointed out, had they been followed, would have worked a reformation in the religion of the day. And when Jesus began his ministry, many would have been prepared to receive him. In this thoughtful Galilean boy, the rabbis recognized great promise. They wanted to have charge of his education. A mind so original, they thought, must be brought under their molding. The words of Jesus moved their hearts as they had never before been moved by words from human lips. God was seeking to give light to those leaders. If Jesus had seemed to be trying to teach them, they would have refused to listen. But they told themselves that they were teaching him, or at least testing his knowledge of the scriptures. Jesus' youthful modesty and grace disarmed their prejudices. Their minds opened to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit spoke to their hearts. They could see that prophecy did not sustain their expectation of the Messiah, but they would not admit that they had misunderstood the scriptures they claimed to teach. His parents become worried.
Meanwhile, in leaving Jerusalem, Joseph and Mary had lost sight of Jesus. The pleasure of traveling with friends absorbed their attention, and they did not notice his absence until night came. Then they missed the helpful hand of their child. Supposing him to be with their group, they had not been worried. But now their fears arose. Shuddering, they remembered how Herod had tried to destroy him in his infancy. Dark dread filled their hearts. Returning to Jerusalem, they launched their search. The next day, in the temple, a familiar voice caught their attention. They could not mistake it, so serious and earnest, yet so full of melody. In the school of the rabbis, they found Jesus. When he was with them again, his mother said, in words that implied reproof,
"Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously."
"Why did you seek me?" answered Jesus. "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?"
When they did not seem to understand, he pointed upward. On his face was a light. Divinity was flashing through humanity. They had listened to what was passing between him and the rabbis and were astonished at his questions and answers. Jesus was occupied in the work he had come into the world to do, but Joseph and Mary had neglected theirs. God had shown them high honor in committing his son to them, but for an entire day they had lost sight of him. And when their anxiety was relieved, they had not condemned themselves, but had blamed him. It was natural for Jesus' parents to look on him as their own child. His life, in many respects, was like that of other children, and it was difficult to realize that he was the Son of God. The gentle reproof that his words conveyed was designed to impress them with the sacredness of their trust. In his answer to his mother, Jesus showed for the first time that he understood his relationship to God. Mary did not understand his words, but she knew he had disclaimed being Joseph's son and had declared his sonship to God. Jesus returned home from Jerusalem with his earthly parents and helped them in their life of labor. For 18 more years, he acknowledged the tie that bound him to the home at Nazareth. He performed the duties of a son, a brother, a friend, and a citizen. Jesus wanted to return from Jerusalem in quietness with those who knew the secret of his life. By the Passover service, God was trying to remind his people of his wonderful work in delivering them from Egypt. In this work, he wanted them to see a promise of deliverance from sin. The blood of Christ was to save them. God wanted to lead them to prayerful study regarding Christ's mission. But as the crowds left Jerusalem, the excitement of travel and social interaction often absorbed their attention, and they forgot the service they had witnessed. The Savior was not attracted to their fellowship. Jesus helps his mother. Returning from Jerusalem, Jesus hoped to direct Joseph and Mary to the prophecies about the suffering Savior. On Calvary, he tried to lighten his mother's grief. He was thinking of her now.
Mary was to witness his last agony, and Jesus wanted her to understand his mission so that she could endure when the sword would pierce through her soul. How much better she could have accepted the anguish of his death if she had understood the scriptures to which he was now trying to turn her thoughts. By one day's neglect, Joseph and Mary lost the Savior, but it cost them 3 days of anxious search to find him. It is this way with us as well. By idle talk, evil speaking, or neglect of prayer, in one day we may lose the Savior's presence, and it may take many days to find him and regain the peace we have lost. We should be careful not to forget Jesus and drift along unaware that he is not with us. Absorbed in worldly things, we separate ourselves from him and from the heavenly angels. These holy beings cannot remain where people don't want the Savior's presence and don't notice his absence. Many attend religious services and are refreshed by the Word of God, but by neglecting to meditate and pray, they lose the blessing. By separating themselves from Jesus, they have shut away the light of his presence. It would be good for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in thinking about the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. If we do, our confidence in him will be more constant, our love will be awakened, and we will be filled with his Spirit. Beholding the beauty of his character, we will be transformed into the same image from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18.